You're finding your place. Tim, remind me, I'm going to preach Friday night up at Victory Baptist in Hendersonville, North Carolina. And some of the young folk would mention about wanting to go. And Brother Chad, you still able to go with me Friday night? So it don't start till 7:30. It's about a 45-minute ride up where we're going, upward road there in Hendersonville. And so we'll try to, if you're interested in going, please let us know, and we'll give you time right after service tonight. And that'd be great. Amen. All right, Genesis chapter 3 tonight. Genesis chapter 3, your will and able stand tonight. Genesis chapter 3, and I'm going to read you the first 7 verses, and then we'll pray. Amen. Preach as God directs our heart tonight. Try to be a help and a blessing to you in the Word of God. And I'm so glad for God's Word. Amen. It is still a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And I'm glad God has given us a complete Word. And I don't need a new revelation. We got what we need here in the Word of God. And I'm glad it's forever settled in heaven. Amen. We might change, but this Bible will never change. And I'm thankful that we're building on a firm foundation. And that foundation is Christ and His Word, and we'll never go wrong building on that foundation. Amen. Genesis chapter number 3, and beginning in verse number 1. The Bible said, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons." Let's pray together. Father, I thank you, Lord, tonight one more time to call upon your name. Lord, I thank you so much for your word, and I pray, oh Father, I pray for just a little while you'll strengthen my voice and my body. Give unction of the Holy Ghost that I might preach. Give us all hearing ears and receptive heart. God, help us, Lord, to let the word of God teach us and direct us tonight and help us. Oh Father, I pray, save that soul that's nearest hell in this place tonight, and use your people for your glory. And all you do, we'll thank and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated. Won't you look back at verse 1 tonight, where the Bible said, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made." And I'm going to preach tonight, the Lord helping me, just a few minutes on the tactics of the devil. The tactics of the devil. We know this chapter well, and often referred to as the fall of man here in Genesis chapter 3. And we find here that Satan entered into the serpent, and there's a lot of preaching we could do in this text all the way through the chapter. And I will say this, it is interesting to me. Every time I've read this and have been saved 36 years this coming spring, I kind of wonder if the serpent at one time didn't walk upright and maybe even have the ability to speak. And you say, "Preach, that sounds crazy." Well, Eve don't seem shocked. I'm going to be honest, if I ever have an animal speak to me, I'm not going to take that as something normal. Amen. So something must have been different before the fall with some of the animals or something, because Eve is not afraid. She is not running off in fear, but she gets into the conversation. We know that the serpent has allowed Satan to enter into it, and Satan is tempting Eve here, and we find that the temptation involves several things. Now, and that's what I'm preaching about tonight, about his tactics, because listen to me, though we're thousands of years later after creation, the devil has not changed his tactics.
He is still after you and I in the same way as he was with Eve here in the garden. He's doing the four same things to us that he did to Eve in the garden. Now listen to me. There is a spiritual world, a demonic world that is very active, yes, even in our day. When Satan fell and he took some angels with him, they became what we call demons. The Bible refers to it as devils. And some are in chains until judgment. Others of them are loose. And by the way, we fight demonic forces every day. Hey, I promise you this, if you get down to pray, you're really going to begin to encounter some demonic activity. The devil and his crowd does not want you praying, does not want you have a closer walk with God. They are continually fighting against us. The Bible tells us over in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Well, those latter times, that's where we live. And you have to admit this and agree with me right here. People are giving heed to seducing spirits in our day. How in the world can somebody that's been in a fundamental Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, Bible-practicing church, how can an individual leave that and wind up in these so-called churches that are not preaching anything? How is that? I tell you how it is, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Well, preacher, how's he getting them? The same way it got Eve. What are those? There's four things, and I'll move on. Let me say this too. The Bible in the New Testament, Revelation 12 and verse 9, Revelation 20 and verse 2, refers to Satan as the old serpent. That's how we know for sure he had entered the serpent. The best commentary on the Bible's what? The Bible. And the Bible called him the old serpent. So we know Satan entered into the serpent to tempt Eve. Well, there's four ways that his tactics had not changed. Number one, the devil uses doubt in verse number one. The Bible said, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. You see, he's casting doubt trying to put doubt into Eve's mind. Did God really say this? Hey, that ain't changed. Amen. Matter of fact, let me remind you something over there in the book of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 11, talks about that even Satan can appear as an angel of light, but it also said so can Satan's ministers appear as an angel. Oh, they're preachers. They carry, quote, Bibles. They quote, preach messages. But they are leading away from the Lord. They cast doubt on what God said. Amen. What kind of doubt is Satan casting in people's mind? Well, first, he wants to count doubt about the scriptures themselves. You see, everything we believe is based on this Bible. If you take the Bible out, we have no foundation. Amen. What I believe, I can show you in the Bible. Amen. You say, well, I believe this. Well, does the Bible say that? Amen. Now, if the Bible and you don't add up, somebody's wrong. And I can tell you who's wrong. And it ain't the Bible. Amen. And so we find Satan always attacking the Word of God. He said to Eve, yea, hath God said this? Hadn't he said about eating about the tree? He is casting doubts on the scripture. He likes to cast doubt about the authority of the Word of God and the accuracy of the Word of God. Man, I'll tell you, I want you to listen to me well. There are preachers a dime a dozen on television and radio, and they're preaching a lot of stuff. But you beware, somebody said, well, it shouldn't have been worded like this, or a better rendering should be. You need to cut them off. I don't care who they are. Amen. You don't need that kind of stuff. But what's that doing? That is breeding doubt in people's minds. When I preach, I'm not saying, well, I hope this is it. No, I'm going to preach what thus saith the Word of God. Amen. By the way, I learned this in 31 years of preaching. You preach the Bible, you ain't ever have to apologize. Because somebody gets upset, they got to get upset in the book. Amen. And so Satan hates this Bible. It reveals to man their sinfulness and reveals the holiness of God and reveals the way of salvation. So Satan hates this Bible and he wants to cast doubt in people's mind. Is this the Word of God? Hey, I can tell you this without being ashamed and without reservation. This King James Bible is the Word of God. It don't just contain it. It is the inspired, the infallible, the inerrant Word of God. Amen. There's nothing wrong with the book. The problem is with people. Amen. So Satan wants to cast doubt on the Word of God. Is this what God really said? Did God mean this here in this? Hey, listen, ladies and gentlemen, God meant what he said. There ain't a doubt. Hey, I promise you this, that in my heart it says, this is God's Word. Amen. By faith, I believe this book one day. Amen. This book has been changing my life. That's right. Oh, friend, tonight, the devil cast doubt. Hey, the devil's cast doubt on your salvation. Amen. Now, I'm going to ask a question. I want everybody to be honest. I normally don't ask you to raise your hand, but I want everybody to be honest with me and raise your hand with this question, and I'm going to raise mine. How many people in here have ever had Satan cause you to doubt your salvation? Keep on a minute. Look around you. You are not in a boat by yourself. Satan wants you to doubt that. Hey, the Bible said in 1 John chapter number 5, verse 13, these things I've written to you that ye may know. Amen. You see, God in his word has let you, hey, this is a know-so salvation. Amen. You don't have to hope so and think so and maybe so it. Hey, it can be settled in your soul that you have been born again. Amen. Hey, preacher, how did you fight the doubt off in your life? That book. Amen. You see, I've got a mixed background. I've got background where they believe you can lose it and a background where they say you got it forever. Said, preacher, how'd you say it? The Bible. I push what grandma told me out of the way. I push what my mama said out of the way. Hey, I pushed everything the church has said to the side. And I said, God, this is your word. Let me know what you said. Amen. Preacher, what'd you come to conclusion with? God is truth and every man's a liar. And God said, I give them eternal life and they never perish. I believed him and it's settled. Amen. Why does Satan attack you in your mind about your salvation so much? Why is it there's a battle over that? Here's why. As long as you're struggling with whether or not you're saved, you won't serve God. It is hard to be a good witness when you ain't real sure you got the good yourself. Amen. I mean, because listen, I've been there. That ain't no fun. But if you ever get it settled, get it nailed down, hey, you'll witness to a signpost. Amen. You won't be afraid to say, hey, you need to get saved and be willing to share how God saved you and changed your life. Oh, friend, the devil wants you to doubt it so he can hinder you from being used by God. Amen. So all the time. And by the way, here's how it works, okay? And listen to me real good. Somebody said, I'm not sure if it's the Holy Ghost dealing with me, then maybe I'm really lost, or maybe it's Satan making me doubt. Here's a good way to know the difference. You want to know the difference? Would you really like to know the difference? If it's the Lord, he ain't saying, now, if you were really saved, you would have done this, this, and this. That ain't how the Lord would deal with you. He would just say flat out, you lost. Hello. It is Satan that comes by saying, hey, look at you, Christian. Well, you got mad at work. You did this. How in the world could you be saved? Hello? You listen to me tonight? I'm trying to help us because I promise you this, all of us are attacked by the spirit world. Amen. Hey, we can't be possessed by the spirit world, but we can be oppressed. Amen. That's why so many God's children and churches are defeated. They're listening to what the devil's got to say instead of listening to what God's got to say. Amen. So Satan's always casting doubt on salvation. Hey, I'll say this, number three, he'll cast doubt on your service for God. Amen. I've heard some preachers say, I ain't never doubted my call to preach. Well, I wish I could say that, but I can't, not be honest. I mean, but I'll tell you what, it ain't just a way back yonder. When I first started preaching, it was rough. I'm talking about my delivery. I couldn't get words out and everything. I was wondering, God, did you make a mistake? Well, I want to tell you this, that still happens now. I get up, preach my guts out, and nothing don't happen. I'm going to tell you something. I go home thinking, what did I do? Amen. And a preacher that won't take a hard inventory, I ain't real sure about him no how. If it don't bother a man and gets up preach, well, something good's happened, or if it's dead, if that don't bother man, he's a hireling. Yes, sir. Amen. Because a God-called preacher, it's going to bother him if folk ain't moving. That's right. But at the same time, Satan will come and say, man, you just make a mess every time you get up. He don't want a preacher to have this. Hey, Sunday school teacher, he'll do the same thing to you. Amen. He'll come by and say, well, them kids ain't listening to you. Amen. And then when you got young ones and teenagers, their mind's 50 miles away, or they're over there trying to text without getting caught. Amen. And you wonder, man, am I getting through to them? Can I help you with younger children real quick with something? I'm sure that I bothered Sunday school teachers myself as a boy. But I promise you this, that book was getting in my heart. Before I ever got under conviction, I can still remember those teachers teaching me the Word of God as far back as 5 years old. That's right. Hey, and that Word was getting, and one day the Holy Ghost come over it. Oh, yeah. And the best I can word it, there's a germinating took place. That seed became alive in my soul one day. Amen. So, teacher, don't you ever let the devil tell you you're wasting your time. You're not. Amen. I know it's rough, man. Half of them ain't woke up good when they come Sunday school. That's right. I heard a preacher one time, he's wound up tight preaching. He's been spiritual. I know he's trying to be real bad. He said, bless God, one Sunday you're going to come in. We're going to have preaching at 10 o'clock, Sunday school at 11 o'clock. And I said, that'll never happen on my watch. You said, why, preacher? They ain't woke up good at 10 o'clock. I like them awake at 11. Amen. That's right. But that Sunday school, boy, the devil comes to you, you're not wasting your time. Amen. Hey, give them a tracker. You think, well, there ain't nobody getting a tracker. You'd be amazed. I've got a friend of mine in North Carolina. His daddy got saved because his daddy, listen to this, found a gospel tract in a piece of furniture. That's right. He got a tract out of a dresser, and he got reading it and got under conviction. Amen. So that track you left there at the restaurant, that ain't in vain. Can I say something else about leaving a track at the restaurant? Several years ago, I left a track at a Subway, and the girl I gave it to, don't reckon she read it a lick, probably. But she took it somehow and laid it on the manager's desk, and he got reading, and God, the Holy Ghost got a hold of him. He just used that girl to take my track to the one he wanted him to get it to. Amen. So what you say, preacher? The devil just wants you to believe you're not doing any good. He wants to have you doubting your service to God. But hey, if you're saved, you've dedicated yourself to God, it's not in vain what you do for the Lord. Amen. So we find that he uses doubt, try to get you to doubt the scriptures, salvation, and your service. Number two, he'll use denial. Amen. Where is that at? Verse 4. Here's what the Bible said. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. You see, even done told us, hey, if we eat of that tree, we're going to die. And he come back, want her to get in this denial stage that people get into. And said, nay, that ain't really going to happen. Now, God just getting a little scare tactic. That's all it is. They ain't no judgment. Why? Why, there's no hell. There's no reaction for every act. Why, it's just a situation. What the situation? Why, it's going to be all right. Don't you know love wins out in the end? Amen. I'm telling you, it ain't changed, not a lick. He wanted them to get in this denial, say, hey, this ain't really going to happen. I can go ahead and eat this fruit, and there'll be no consequences whatsoever if I eat it. Amen. I'm going to tell you, I want you, everybody, look at me this minute. It is amazing in our churches across America tonight how many people live in denial. Amen. They're in total denial of what sin will do. They're in total denial about eternity. Amen. Hey, the devil, he ain't changed any. Why he'll come back, that's why. Sin won't hurt you. Go ahead and do it. You know, oh, you can handle it. Now, them other crowd, now, yeah, they had a real weak place for that, and they couldn't take it. But, oh, you can do it. You're going to be all right. You done figured out how not to become a drunk, and you done figured out how not to get hooked on that dope, and you done figured out how you're not going to get caught up in this. You can just go so far, and then you decide, you know, you can lay it down. That's what the devil tell you. Amen. Oh, I'm trying to help us. I'm preaching the right crowd. That Sunday morning only crowd, a lot of that crowd just need to get saved. I'm just going to be honest about that. You that come back Sunday night and Wednesday night, you're here because you want to hear this right here help you live in victory. Amen. You see, Satan wants folk to live in denial, but truth is still truth. Amen. Hey, he'll tell you, well, that rule doesn't apply to you. Yeah, that's getting to be my favorite one to talk about because that's where everybody's at mostly. Amen. Oh, yeah, you don't do this, do that. But if I decide to do it, it's okay. Hello? You hear me well tonight? Well, it's only wrong if it's everybody else. Amen. Hey, wrong's wrong. Don't matter who does it. Amen. Hey, when this Bible's laid some things out, and it has, this book's right. Amen. Oh, God wouldn't send anyone to hell. That's what this generation's declaring now. Books being wrote about it. They don't want to believe in hell. I want to tell you something. There is a hell. And all that do not get saved go to hell. Amen. That's who goes. Them that are not saved go to hell. That's right. Oh, you can live in denial. Well, love went out in the end, and at the end, God just going to give everybody one more chance. No. No. You've got an opportunity now to get saved. That's your opportunity. Amen. So the devil uses doubt. The devil uses denial. Now, I want to say this about some verse quick. Ezekiel 18:4 and verse 20 still in the Bible. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. That's the Bible. Romans 6:23 still in the Bible. For the wages of sin's death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's still in the Bible. James chapter 1 verses 14 and 15 teach us we're led away of our own lust. The devil don't make you do nothing. He didn't make Eve eat that fruit. He just laid the temptation out there. He cast them down, but it was Eve's choice. Hello. Everything you do, you got a choice. Amen. And he said this in verse 15. And sin, when it is finished, finished with what? Finished with you, bringeth forth death. Amen. That's still true. My life, your life, president's life, kings in other countries' life, it don't change. Amen. The devil uses doubt, uses denial. Number three, he uses discontentment. That's right, too. Look at verse 5 just a minute. He said there, For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Discontent, not being happy the way God made you. I'm going to camp right there just a minute. God made Adam. He created Adam out of the dust. He didn't even use dirt. He used dust. The most useless part of dirt. That's what you are. You don't rank dirt. I don't rank dirt. Dust. But God can take a handful of dust, make a man, and breathe into him the breath of life, and he did it. Amen. Oh, yeah. Hey, God said in his word, we're made in his image. It's what the word of God teaches us. Hey, The devil comes by and says, hey, you can get better. Here's what's being said. He's keeping you down. He's holding you back. That's what they say about us old-fashioned hellfire and brimstone leather lung preachers. They just beating you down. They're holding you back. I'm not holding you back from good things. I'm just warning before you take off in some bad stuff. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. If I'm driving down the road tonight in my car, and I do like to drive, and I'm not slow. I'm not a snail nor a turtle. I like power. But if I'm going down the road, if a bridge is out, I hope somebody's there with a flashlight and a flag saying, no, 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 stop. The bridge is out. Amen. Before I'd ever get mad at a preacher, I'd just get mad at myself. And that's who y'all get mad at, because you're the one going down the road. Amen. You ought to thank God for that preacher that warns you about your sin. Amen. You see, the devil tells you, oh, that preacher's holding you back. Your mom and daddy, they're holding you back. Your husband, your wife, they're holding you back. Discontentment. Amen. We're eat up with it in America. We ain't content with nothing. You believe I'm telling you truth, right? I can tell you how I know I'm telling you truth. You give somebody $1 million and they know you've got 10 in the bank, they will believe you should have gave them at least 2 or 9 of it. Can't be happy over the 1 million. I deserve 2 or 3. We all right in here tonight? Amen. That's right. Discontent. We're not content with nothing. Amen. That's why we always have to have something new all the time. That's all of us. I don't care. Now, fellas, you can talk about your wife wanting that new furniture, and I know how that is. But I'm going to tell you something. There's some things we like, too. Amen. It all ain't the same. The price tag goes up and down on all of it. But what happens? We get discontent. You know why some folk can't stay at churches? They get discontent. Amen. Hey, I'm just trying to help you. Hey, the devil wants you to be discontent for who you are. Amen. Looking at yourself. Hey, God made you in His image. He knew how you was going to look. He knew I was going to be ugly, and there wasn't nothing I could do about it. Amen. But you know what? It don't matter if I'm ugly. I'm happy in my ugliness. Amen. Hey, just be content, praise God. That's right. Oh, they're spending thousands of dollars trying to fix themselves in this country. Amen. Praise God, I could take $10,000, $20,000. I'll just stay ugly. I'd rather have the money. Huh? That's right. Hey, discontent with what you're doing. Man. Discontent with what you're doing. Can I say something to you ladies? Some ladies, they work public jobs and their mamas too, but some mamas are just, they're full-time mamas as far as I'm saying. They stay at home. But I want to tell you something, that ain't a free ride. That's hard work. That's stressful work. Hey, my wife's been home since me and her got married. She's raised our children. I've been preaching, visiting hospitals. I'm there as much as I can to help. But by and large, it's been my wife raising my children. That's how it is. Amen. And there ain't no telling how many times the devil come by and said, look at you, you just a stay-at-home mama. Ain't nothing wrong being a stay-at-home mama. Not one thing. Amen. You say, preacher, I just clean ditches out. Ain't nothing wrong cleaning ditches. Amen. If you're doing the best you can, amen, you ain't lazy. You're doing what you ought to do. Whatever it is good. Amen. Hey, the devil wants you to just get discontent with what you do. Hey, preachers sometimes get like that. They will. Hey, they need to realize God put them there, not do nothing until God says otherwise. Hey, discontent what you have, discontent where you are. Amen. Hey, the devil still you. Then let me say this last, and I'm done. Number 4 is deception. From verse 1 through verse 7, the devil's doing nothing but deceiving Eve. Lying to her. Amen. I want to read you some verses before I close. Over in John chapter 8 and verse 44, here's what Jesus said to a crowd one day. "Ye of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." Hey, that devil can't do nothing but lie. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to read you another verse. The devil has many tools. You listen to me? He got many tools, but they all have the same handle. They all have the same handle. What is that, preacher? A lie. Hey, to get discontent, you got lied to. To get you in this denial business, you got lied to. Have doubt, you got lied to. Amen. I'm preaching right, and I know I am, because I'm preaching the Bible. Amen. It'll help you. You say, "Preacher, I want to live in victory." Take this to heart tonight. Understand you've got an adversary. The devil is after you. You don't have to preach. You don't have to sing a solo. Just being saved and coming to church. Got the crosshairs of the devil on your back. He hates you. The devil hates you. He hates your home. Hates everything about you. Here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, here's what the Bible said here. "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtility, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." That word beguiled there means to deceive, to seduce wholly, to entice, to catch by bait. That's what the devil's doing. He's hanging something in front of you, hoping you go for it. That word subtil. Now, well, let me deal more with that word beguile. Now, listen to this. That word beguile, the thought is this: to be so completely deceived as to accept falsehood for truth, believing it to be truth. That's what's going on. He's got people believing a lie to be truth. And it's happening all over this world tonight. That word subtlety means trickery, being cunning, crafty, shrewd. Wiles. Talk about the wiles of the devil in the book of Ephesians. This word implies that shrewdness was employed in this attempt to get Eve. Hey, the devil, and hear me well, and I'm done right here. Everybody look at me just a minute. The devil's not coming to you in a red suit with a tail and horns and a pitchfork. He ain't coming to you like that. Why, he did that. We all got enough sense to run the other way. But if he can be deceptive, he can just kind of slip in, you know, get a little area here, a little area over there. Hey, he'll use doubt. He'll use denial. He'll use discontentment. And he'll use deception to get to anybody. Don't ever think you are above being snared by the devil. I don't care how many verses you quote, don't matter how long your name's been on the church roll, don't matter how spiritual you think you are, okay? From this pulpit to the back row, we're all pray for the devil if we don't stay close to the shepherd. Amen. And the Lord tonight, on this Wednesday night, laid this on my heart yesterday, because he knew who's going to be here tonight. Some of you right here tonight are facing all these things I've done preaching about tonight. Some of the rest of you are going to face it tomorrow. It's going to happen. How do I win, preacher? You get in this book, and this book gets in you, and you let this book guide you. Not your conscience. Are you listening to me? Your conscience ain't a good guide, because you can sear your conscience. You hear me? Even saved, you can get your conscience where it won't bother you no more. That's right. You just keep doing the same stuff you're doing, you're going to get your conscience where it ain't going to bother you. But I'm going to tell you what, this book and the Holy Ghost living in you will absolutely stay on your trail. Amen. This Bible will not lead you wrong. It'll lead you into all truth. Amen. This book is your answer. You getting in this book and letting it get in you. Amen. There's victory in Jesus. Now, I'm going to say this. Look up here. This ain't an overnight deal. This is a lifetime thing. Amen. How do you know that, preacher? Well, a sweet little old granny lady I knew growing up. She was, I think she wound up being 103, something like that, before she died. On her deathbed, my pastor mentioned this to me. He went by to see her one day, and he came to church the service after that. And here's what he said. He said, mentioned her name, said, here's what she said as soon as I walked in the door today. Said, preacher, Satan's been telling me I'm not even saved today. Huh? She'd been saved most of her life. If the devil gonna hound you at 100, 200, 300, 400 on your deathbed, you don't think he ain't gonna bother you in your 20s and 40s and 50s, 70s? Why, yeah, your teens? Oh yeah. He's after. He wants to keep you from serving God. And if you're not saved here tonight, he wants to keep you from getting saved. But I'm gonna tell you this, and hear me well, there's not anyone nor anything worth going to hell over. Being saved is the best thing. It's the greatest thing. It is the way of joy and peace being in the family of God. Amen. Hey, I'm glad I know whom I believed. Amen. And persuade he's able to keep that which I committed unto him against that day. What did you commit to him, preaching? The keeping of my soul. I'm not keeping it. I put it in his hands. And I'll tell you this, he ain't never lost nobody. That's right. He ain't never lost nobody, so I'm in good hands. All states ain't got nothing on me. Amen. You got the hands that hold everything. Got a hold of you. Amen. You're all right in Jesus. Amen. Father, take the message now. Use it for your honor and for your glory. Lord, I love you because you first loved me. In Jesus' name. Heads bowed and eyes closed just a moment. I've tried my best to preach to you what the Lord laid on my heart tonight. And I wonder, is there someone here say, preacher, I'm not saved. I know I'm lost. Would you pray for me, preacher? I need to be saved. Anybody at all, you'd lift a hand. Preacher, remember me in prayer. Is there a child of God right here? Boy, you're saved. You know you're saved. You're struggling with some things in your life. And tonight, the Lord's reminding you, hey, the devil's just out trying to keep you from serving the Lord. And by lifting your hand, say, preacher, that's me tonight. I've had some struggles. Like, amen. Hands everywhere. Well, here's the good news. Greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. I want you to stand the altars open while we sing. You come tonight, let the Lord help you. He'll help you tonight, I'll promise you that. While we sing.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter.
If you need to come, just come on. There's help in the Lord.
After thy will, while I am waiting, yielded and still.